Welcome back to another episode of Diary of a Tax Practice Owner, and I am excited to have my friend Leslie Leondas, a CPA who is a trailblazer in this accounting industry. She specializes in helping accountants to scale their firms with intention and efficiency. With over a decade of experience, Leslie has also become a certified Clockwork partner. This is a certified business advisor with the Institute of Advisors and a certified coach, trainer, and speaker with the John Maxwell team. She and her business partner, Lynn, have expertise in process optimization, business advisory, and leadership, and this has been the key to their firm's success, supported by a dedicated team of five. Leslie holds both a bachelor's and master's degree in accounting and is passionate about helping other accountants achieve sustainable growth while maintaining a healthy work-life balance. We all want more of that in our lives, don't we? And their spiritual vision is to change the accounting industry from one of burnt out to one where professionals can thrive. Lynn and Leslie reside in Somerville, Texas with their three dogs, and they continue to push the boundaries of what's possible in this accounting world. And together, they prove that scaling a firm doesn't have to come at the expense of personal well-being. Leslie, I'm so excited to have you here today because we're going to be talking about some really juicy stuff, including delegation. And if you have a team, aspire to have a team, or even are just a solo practitioner who's thinking about hiring a part-time admin, delegation is going to be the key. So I'm thrilled that we get to pick your brain about this topic. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. I can't wait to talk about this one thing that I just love talking about.
Well, I have gotten the opportunity to meet Leslie in person, and she is full of wisdom, and I'm so excited that she does get to share this today. Here on the podcast, Leslie, we love to start by having you kind of go back to the beginning. How did you get to where you are today? And will you take us back to your journey through the accounting field and how you built your firm, how you fell into the Clockwork world, and how you have built such a sound, culturally successful firm that is allowing you and Lynn to travel a ton and still have a thriving business?
Well, it started 10 years ago. We've been in business for 10 years now. But before that, I was going through a divorce and I was a manager at Hobby Lobby. And I was sitting there like having to work so many hours with a 1 and 5 year old going through a divorce. I was like, how can I bring up these kids working like this? So my mom told me, she's like, hey, go into the accounting industry and you won't have to work near as much. You won't have to, you can work around your kids. And she so lied. That was not the case.
Was she an accountant or did
yes,
she just see?
She was, but she started in a public accounting firm and then she started her own bookkeeping tax business. But she learned from the public accounting firm that taught her the traditional methods. So she did the exact same thing that I see so many do. And so then it was like, I wasn't getting paid as a single mom. Lynn wasn't getting paid because I brought her into this mess. And it was just, and we had so many clients wanting stuff all the time. And it was like, I can't do this anymore. And so Lynn and I just started looking for any effective way to change the mess that we were in to finally find something. And we had my mom and one other team member. And so we were told all the time, well, we can't do it that way. This is the way we've always done it. So I had to find people that would never, ever tell me that again, because it became the pain of my existence. So that's kind of how we started our journey. And we just started just like, how can we fix this one thing at a time?
So I'm curious, how long did it take you to get to that tipping point of like, we can't do it this way anymore?
Not very long, because we had over 300 tax returns. And it was like, I found out I didn't even like doing tax. I was a CPA that hated tax. And I loved relationships and helping people build their business. And it's like, yes, tax was part of that, but the prep of it was horrible. And then the pricing was so bad that you just couldn't, you couldn't see the forest for being right here in front of you. All you could see was just roadblocks.
Right, right. Very interesting. So when you grew that, was it just, so it sounds like you had, there was four of you total at that point. What was the, like, where did you go then? Because I think there's a lot of people that can resonate with that, where they are, they're maxed out. I was actually talking to a woman the other day and she was telling me she has a team. I think there was five of them total. And she says, we're maxed on capacity. I haven't been able to get my team a raise this year because we can't bring on any more clients to bring in more revenue. We have to do something. And so, you know, we were talking in the realm of systems and how to be more efficient so they could bring in more capacity. But it's not just that part either, right? Like, there's so much more to it. And I would love, think of that person when you're talking to people today, because she's obviously got a team. She needs to delegate. She's doing the things. But how are they going to move forward? Like, how did you guys decide to move forward? Because I'm sure you kind of felt the same way, right? Like, you were maxed on time. You couldn't really raise your prices yet because you weren't confident in maybe doing that, you know, across the board. I don't know, maybe you were, but a lot of people aren't. How did you start making like little notches in the path forward to be able to succeed to be where you are today?
We went through every pricing training there possibly was, went through every accounting conference. I learned, hey, you need to value price and hey, you need to do this. And I'm like, yeah, okay, great. But how do I do that? And how do I communicate that with the clients? Because I was just like every other accountant out there. And I'm like, I don't know how to communicate this. And so what I had to do in the end of 2020, I came into this boot camp and it was called Run Like Clockwork. And they had this crush cringe analysis. And so I listed out all of the clients and I'm like, this client is only paying me $50 a year. Why are we even messing with them? And right. So we just went through everything because Clockwork says crush cringe. But we went A through S and some of my team even graded them S. So we went through that. And so it gave us the confidence to start firing because then we could look at it from a financial perspective and also a capacity. And so we quickly reduced that 300 client. And in the middle of that, I had to fire my mom because she did not want to change. And so we literally split the firm in half. So, and that crush cringe was also key in that because that was like all the cringes were my mom's clients. So that was
going to say what?
So we literally unloaded half plus unloaded her. And eventually the other team member opted out as well because she liked working for my mom because they did things the same way.
Yeah. 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 It's interesting. I would love to, maybe we can talk about this later on. That's where the conversation goes. But there's a lot of people that feel that same way, whether they're people like team members who are building to take over the firm. And there's this generational gap where there's the people who are technically able and change is not so scary when it comes to implementing technology and systems and doing things a little bit different. And then there's this portion of the industry and teamwork or team members that are terrified of change. How did you like make that decision your mom's a very close relationship, right? Like that's a firing of an employee to a whole other level.
Yes.
So how did you start making that move towards that decision without being terrified of doing it? I mean, maybe you were terrified, but
I was. I was. I had to keep my kids in mind and quitting wasn't an option. And Len was also a single mom. And so it was like, what did I start this for? And why am I here? What is my vision? And does this align? Because what I started this for was something completely different than where she was going. And so I basically had to pull that Band-Aid and just let the cards fall wherever they did. And the clients that really, truly valued us stayed.
That's amazing. What was the vision that you had? Will you share that with us?
Yes. It was actually, I didn't even realize it at the time, but when I was getting my CPA license, I had to get the experience. So I was working for a bank and one of my mom's clients came to me and he's like, hey, can you help your mom out? She's really behind with my stuff. I like being able to see where I'm at because I can't even see if I'm making money on these jobs. Mm-hmm. Can you help her out? She's like months behind.
Oh, geez.
And so I was working at the bank and then I started working for her again, trying to catch his stuff up. So then it became very important to me that this is what people need. And this was before like when QuickBooks Online was just like coming out and really going into the market. And he already saw the value in it. And I'm like, this is what I'm meant to do. And it's not the reactive stuff that a lot of accountants. So it was like, I need to build my firm around that because that's where the value is. And that's how I started learning how to talk value to clients because he told me what he valued.
Interesting. Yeah. Well, and I think people don't do that enough. They don't listen to their clients and understand what the true need is of, you know, what their pains are and how you can be the solution to those pains. If you can identify, I am skilled in this and I can help this person and these are the pains that they have, that's an easy sale. right? Yes. And it takes the communication in slowing down a little bit to be able to have those conversations and realize these 300 clients that we are doing prep for and only paying $50, like that is not the vision, right? This mm-hmm. other side is. So when you were started having that conversation, was it just a light bulb moment of, I want to run a firm that is a better client experience? Like, what did that look like?
I think a lot of it came from my retail management experience because we were drilled with client experience. Yeah. And so when we had that many clients, we couldn't give a great client experience and everything was reactive. It was like putting out fire after fire. It was like whatever was on fire is what we responded to. And then, and I know you and I have had some great conversations on systems and people would drop off stuff and we'd be like, who brought this in? We had no idea when it was brought in. And so I was asking, hey, can you bring me your bank statements from like for the last 6 months? And they're like, they've been there for 2 months. And I'm like, oh, we've got to fix this. So that's when we really went into systems and how to fix just the, and it was all along client experience. Like what was the great experience for them? Because when you look at everybody, the way retail works, that's what it's all about. I mean, if you look at Starbucks and all of them, that's what it's about.
Yeah. Amazing. And so then you found Clockwork. And how did Clockwork, so they obviously, you figured out how to fire the clients that were not valuable and that you didn't like serving. That was a big step. But what else did Clockwork help you do in those early days to start seeing the path back through the forest so you could start actually like achieving the vision and the ultimate destination that you wanted to do?
Actually, I found Clockwork through, I was at QuickBooks Connect and Mike Michalowicz actually talked about, it was when Clockwork was, before it was even launched, the book was launched. And he was talking about what I was feeling because I had brought three team members on at the same time to service clients. And it was like, oh my God, it's question after question after question. They're driving me crazy. And so he described it to just what I was feeling. And so I'm like, I've got to know more about that. So I bought the book after it, when it first came out and I started just trying to implement it. But it was like, okay, this is great in philosophy, but how do I actually put it into an accounting practice? So I kind of got stuck there. And then Adrian came out with Run Like Clockwork, a boot camp. And then she broke it down and then I could see the true vision of the business I wanted. So then it was like, we went all into Clockwork. And then once they launched their certified partner program, we were like, yes, that fits exactly where we want to go. So it just, everything just came in when it was supposed to come in.
Love that. So share with us, because you guys now teach other firm owners how to do this. So I would love, would you share kind of what it looks like in your team today, because obviously you're not serving low value clients. You're not pulling your hair out, trying to like make sense of where everything's at in the process. Can you give us just a high level of what the firm looks like today and how it's running smooth and all streamlined?
So today it's like the bookkeeping and tax side, I don't really have to mess with anymore. I mainly stay on the marketing side. So a lot of it was developing roles and who's responsible for what. So we're not overlapping each other. So we actually, and that came from Clockwork as well, is developing whose role is what. And everybody's cross-trained. And I see that a lot in firms where a lot of things aren't cross-trained. And so when one person leaves, especially the owner, the firm will fall apart. And it can sustain it for a little bit, but not long. And I didn't want a business built around me because of some experiences I've had with my mom. She literally had a stroke and was trying to do somebody's payroll from the hospital after having a stroke. And I was like, this business cannot be revolved around me or any one team member. And our team is full of young people that have had babies. So they've taken 6, 7, 8 weeks of maternity leave. So we test it every time of who can leave when and where the where everybody is. And it's back to client experience.
Amazing. So what do you, because a lot of people, when we talk to them, they're like, everything's in my head and it's so exhausting. And it, I know, like, you know, your mom with the stroke, like it's all up here. What is something that you would tell that person about how to like take that first step forward? Like maybe they right now is not the time for them to go into Clockwork and, and boot camp and all the steps that it takes to get there. But what would you give them as a kind of an antidote today that they could take away and be like, okay, this is the first step. Here's how I can start moving forward.
So I did a Google sheet and I just said that my team would put questions on that Google sheet and I would answer them. So we had like a database of questions that they could ask. that turned into processes later on, because you can't write, there's so many processes in a firm, you can't do them all. Yeah. But then what we saw is, okay, this is a common question around payroll. So then that became the first process to write. And it took time. It took years to develop them out, but it gave us a starting point. Then we would grade them 1 through 5 of importance. So the ones that were a 1, they were high importance, and payroll was the very first one. So I don't even have to talk about payroll to anybody. But it started just with a Q&A document of, these are the questions. And then we would identify, where does that process need to go? So it was literally, they were getting this stuff out of my head. And it was a team member that came up with this. She was like, hey, I just need like a brain dump sheet to get stuff from your head into all of ours. And that's kind of how we started.
Interesting. That is true, because, you know, sometimes you don't even realize. I know I have a very lean team, and it's amazing how when you sit down to do something, you just do it, right? Like you just like bing, 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 and it's done. And it's like when you start like breaking it down, it can be really hard. One of the hacks that if you ever do sit down and try and do a process, one of the hacks that I have come up with that works for me is sometimes starting at the end and going backwards, because our brains kind of, when you reverse engineer things, your brain actually functions more clearly than if you try to say, okay, do this, and then I do this, and then I do this, because there's too many paths forward that you can go, right? If you start at the end and work backward, it's more linear, and you have fewer like decisions that you make along the way. You can kind of get the high level things out onto a piece of paper and document it. So how did you guys, where did you go for systems first? Did it all stay kind of rudimentary in the early days with like spreadsheets and like Google Docs and like, this is the process and those types of things, or where were you at? I want people to feel okay about where they're at, because it is a journey. It is an iteration. It takes years to put these systems in place. But as we've talked about in other podcasts on here, you know, it's the developing your business for the sale, right? Like always thinking through that mindset of the CEO. It's about, like you said, being able to remove yourself or any other key role within your business and not having that be the implosion of your business. And it's the short term is to like not lose your mind every day you go to work. But the long term is, I'm developing an asset that is something I could sell someday and get my asset value out of it so that I can be rewarded for all of the sweat and blood and tears that I put into it over these last 5, 10, 20, 30, 40 years in some cases. I think too many people are walking away from their practices just saying, yeah, I'll sell it off to the guy down the street for pennies on dollar. And it's like, yes, and you could also, you know, put a couple years of effort into it and double or triple your value, or even a lot more than that in some cases, and have an asset. So I just wanted to like throw that little nugget out there, but continue on about like how you guys like iterated on systems through the years.
So we went through 6 systems for task management that I can actually think of. And that doesn't count pieces of paper and post-it notes. It doesn't even count any of those. And notebooks and all of that stuff. Yes. So because we've tried so many systems, but then the key was, I never put pen and paper to what we actually needed for the whole firm. So every one of them solved a little piece. So we ended up with all these Mod Podge systems, and a lot of them lived with me, because I would try them to see if they would work, but then I would try to push them out to the team and they're like, this doesn't work for us. So can you? And so we just went through system after system. And of course, all the pain of going through all those systems until the last time, and it was Clockwork that brought my last system to me, which was ClickUp. And, but it was more because I was looking for a coaching space and a bookkeeping space, a tax space, an admin space. So I was looking for all things in one system. And we already had pieces of, we already had a portal, so we didn't need another one. So it's like identifying what it is that we need. And plus we wanted marketing in the same realm. So it was really looking at what we wanted. And then the most important piece is, I didn't implement it, because I'm not an implementer, because I had somebody else that was much better at tech than I am. And she was the one that refused to use any of the tech I used because it was set up incorrectly, because I'm an accountant. I have a whole different vocabulary than than most team members. And same with processes. That's why they didn't understand most of them, because I talk way up here and my team needed it way down here.
Yeah. How did you find your implementer?
She started with me when she was 17 as my assistant, and I quickly figured out she was not a very good assistant. And so we just, and then she just kept growing and growing. She's been with me for 7 years now, but I just kept paying attention to what she was good at, because she just didn't know what she wanted to be when she grew up. Yeah. So I just kept paying attention. And that was with every team member, to see where they thrive. And it was paying attention. And so whenever I needed a tech problem solved, she could find it on Google with no problem. And she was the one that always criticized the systems. So she kind of found the roles herself. And so when we implemented ClickUp, I was like, I drew it out on a piece of paper. And I'm like, this is what I want it to look like. And I watched the ClickUp videos that they had. And I'm like, but this is what I want for us. And see if you can see what you can do. And so she spent 2 weeks learning the system and doing it. And what she came up with was just amazing. And she owns that system. That is her system. We just get to play with it.
So we in the Workflows for Tax Pros, we call that user the super user of the practice management software, right? Like whether it's ClickUp or it's TaxDome or it's any other software that you're using, you must have a super user. If this is your, it is literally the heart of your business.
Yes.
And you have to have a person that is dedicated to maintaining that heart. It's like the one that's making sure it's getting the nutrition, the exercise, the air, the oxygen, you know, like all of the things that it needs to be a thriving entity in your business. And I think a lot of people discount what tech is in their world. So I would love to hear your perspective, Leslie, like going from this journey that you are to where you are today, how important is tech and having a system like ClickUp or TaxDome to help with task management and operations and client delivery and keeping all of those pieces moving? How important is that in your business? And then I want to talk about delegation within that realm as well.
So no matter, and I'm a big proponent, I don't care what system you use, as long as you use it, because as you said, it is the brains of the organization. So we have a saying, if it's not in ClickUp, it doesn't happen. But what it does is, so I had two team members that were pregnant at the same time that went out 4 days apart a month early. So So we had to, if we didn't have it in a system that way, it, our client experience would have went downhill, because what if they still had it on post-it notes, notebooks, and we're a virtual firm. So how would we know what was up here if it wasn't in a system? So we were easily able to go to their boards and say, okay, this is what Megan had, this is what Chelsea had, and then divide up those all those tasks throughout the team, and then go through it and say, okay, what is important, what is not important. And so we were able to have a team meeting around those particular tasks, because they literally met each other in the freaking hospital, one going in, one going out. So and I've seen firms just fall apart right then and there, just because they don't have a system that has everything. So nothing, marketing, sales, nothing stopped because two key members went out at the same time.
I want to add one other piece to that, and it's become very apparent in a lot of talk in the industry forums, is the lack of hiring that's able to happen right now. And if you don't have a tool like ClickUp or TaxDome or something that is on the interwebs, you are severely limiting your pool of candidates for finding key skilled, you know, employees that are able to come in and help you, especially with the technical skills that are necessary to do things like tax and bookkeeping. And if you want to make your hiring easier, I'm not saying it's going to make it all easy, but it's going to be easier to open up that pool when you are able to have people work remotely like Lynn and their team are working. So I just want to throw that out there for a nugget for people that are like thinking, yeah, but my paper systems work. 5 to 10 years from now, everybody is going to have to be virtual. They're not going to have a choice. So you can either tear the Band-Aid off now or you can wait 5 years and make it really painful and you're going to have to do it then. So I've seen in other industries, I came from the healthcare industry where that is exactly what happened. And there were doctors and nurses that went kicking and screaming in their 60s and 70s saying, I'm never going to do it. They did it. They survived. So just tear the Band-Aid off. So I'll just add that. I just want to add in that little anecdote. But yeah, so once you have the system, sounds like you were then able to redelegate, right? So you guys had the system to be able to delegate quickly. Can you talk to us about how important those delegation has been to your firm and being successful in the work that you guys are doing and how you have been able to provide such great client experience and allow you and Lynn to travel as much as you do and be involved in other aspects of your lives?
So one of the key things that happened today is I had a sick team member. Actually one of her kids was sick, and she's like, and we told her, hey, just take off. Don't worry about it. And she's like, okay, what do I need to, you know, I'll go into ClickUp and move my stuff. I'm like, no, don't worry about it. We got you. Cause we could actually see what she had planned for today. And then we could just go in and delegate. And I just wanted to add that key component too. That was one of the things I did not think about whenever I was going through my six systems, is how easily it was to delegate to somebody else and then delegate back, especially all the one-off tasks. Cause we do not realize how many one-off tasks when a client requests something that we spend so much time doing because we can't delegate it. And so having a system where it's so easy to put a one-off task in is huge, because there are a lot of them. And I know I've talked to a lot of accountants who think, oh no, they're all reoccurring. No, they're not. There's some, but there's
not farmer. I have this question. They're not.
Yeah. And then having to be, and so from the client experience, Lynn and I do a lot of personal development and a lot of training and a lot of different things. And so a lot of times our clients don't even know we're gone, because it is, even with every coaching client, there is a day that we reach out to them. Every single, it is in that system. So they're like, I don't even know how y'all do it. But it's because we have a system that says, hey, you need to reach out to this person today.
Awesome. Yeah, I love that. And when you're thinking about delegation, can you define for us what delegation really should look like? So I think there's a lot of misconceptions about what delegation is and isn't in a business. And yes, not just accounting. Let me tell you, I am not a good delegator. I will raise that flag. And I was just telling Leslie before we got on, I need to go through her boot camp, and I need to have her and Lynn help me get my stuff together, because I am it's faster for me to do it, girl. And I would love to hear how you would respond to someone else who says, yes, but it just takes 2 minutes. Today I bought airplane tickets. I have an OBM. I shouldn't be buying airplane tickets, but I wanted to control the time in which I left and the seats that I got and the level of ticket that I got. Was first class going to be too expensive? Was it not? I mean, these are first world problems, but I still was just I didn't end up buying first class because it was too expensive. They got really expensive. And I didn't have points to be able to upgrade. But anyways, I chose not to delegate that when it could have taken me 30 seconds to send a message to her and be like, I need to fly on these dates, please book a ticket. It instead took me 15, 20 minutes, and actually 30 minutes, because I got interrupted and then had to go back to it and start all over again. So talk to the me's of the world and tell us what delegation is and how we can do it better.
You set me up for the perfect example. I just want to throw that out there, because one of the things that we coach on is having the information is key to delegation. And so you gave so many examples of, I want this seat, I want this cost, and I want this time. That's information that you could have given to that person and she could have taken it and ran with it. Because that's your parameters pretty much all the time. So you could have already communicated all that information. So then also letting her have the permission to actually do it, whether it be first class or comfort or whatever it is, but having the permission and then owning the outcome. So let's say you delegated this particular task and she booked you first class. Well, then she's got to own the outcome. But the outcome is, did you give her a price range of what she could spend? So that's where I see a lot of gaps in delegation. And I was the queen of this. And I would get mad because I would why can't they just freaking do this? And it was because they were always missing some key component of information. And then I never, ever let them own and give them permission to actually make a decision, because they would come back to me, well, this is what I found on Delta in this time frame, and this is your seat.
Yeah.
And then I would have to, okay, yeah, that sounds good. Well, then we have this thought of, I should have just done this myself, but we didn't give them permission to actually do that. and then giving that, letting them own the outcome where she, you could, where she booked the flight. And if she did it wrong, based on everything you gave her, well, then she owns that outcome of that. And that has been key with my team, is owning that outcome and what has really elevated them.
What is that? What does the owning the outcome look like? Is that them, like, if I didn't give her, like, if I said, don't spend more than $1,200 on a first class ticket, right? I said that and she bought a $2,000 ticket, then I have to, you know, have the conversation with her. Hey, you didn't follow the instruction. However, if I didn't say $1,200 is the limit and she bought the $2,000 ticket, it's on me to then say, next time I need to communicate better. Is that kind of what that owning that outcome looks like?
Yes. Okay. And I'll use an example that I had yesterday with a sales page. I said, here's all the information. You make the sales page, you own the outcome. And it didn't come out quite like I wanted it, but I gave her all the details. She just didn't execute it. But she's like, hey, this is on me, you know, because I rushed through it and she owned it. And so I rushed through it because it was just a checklist. Yeah. And so then we were able to address the situation. And I'm like, hey, next time you don't have time, you need to just communicate that you don't have time to put into it. And then we make a decision. Oh, well, let's put that off if you don't have the time. Right. But she owned that, hey, I messed this up.
Interesting. Okay. Well, that sounds like a good framework. Can you repeat it for us again one more time? Just what the, so there's the information. So giving them the what you want them to do, that's your expectation setting, right? There is the permission to make the decision for you, and you saying, I want you to make this decision for me based on this criteria. And then there is the owning the outcome, which is, and I'm doing this for myself, guys, because I need this. Owning the outcome, if something goes right or goes wrong with the outcome, then the person that is responsible for that owns it, and it is resolved for the next time that this patient is set or this is tasked out.
And then on owning the outcome too, you also don't want to criticize that because they made the decision, because otherwise if you criticize too much, they will never make another decision again. So you have to, there's like a balance there. But once they start making decisions and owning that outcome, eventually their confidence gets higher and higher and higher. And then you see that you're removed a lot from making decisions, because what I have found with firm owners is 90% of their time is spent making decisions for others.
Yeah, it's exhausting.
Yeah,
it's freaking exhausting, Leslie. I was going to say, and it's not criticism that I give. What my problem is that I roll it or reel it out and then I pull it back.
Yep.
Right. Like one time I'll be like, you go make this decision. And the next time I'm like, I made this decision. Right. Like I don't give them the permission consistently. And so they become very confused about like, what do I have permission to do and what do I not? Because I have kind of stepped into their lane when I should have stayed in my lane.
Mm-hmm.
And
this is where removing yourself from your business, we did tests like a week and then a 2 week and then a 3 week and then a 4 week, which is what Clockwork is about. But it also, that empowers your team. And I remember when we took one of our first vacations and one of our clients came in and he needed to really talk about a big decision he was trying to make. And so one of the team members was like, hey, let me bring it to the team and let me see what they say. And he knew we were out. And it was a big financial decision. So she's like, I'll get back to you by tomorrow, but we're going to discuss it as a team. That went not only so far with the client, but the team now is like, hey, can y'all leave again? Because they really liked being able to, number one, elevate themselves. And that is one of the things I see in the accounting industry is we like to put a cap on what they learn and we don't do it intentionally. She's like, that was the best part of ever making a decision when I was able to take it to the team and we were able to discuss it. We discussed pros and cons, just like y'all do with us. And then I went back to him the next day and I'm like, hey, this is what I think you need to do. And I will get with Lynn and Leslie when they get back. But this is what I am confident that the answer is. So the client executed on it and she made the right decision, but it could have went the other way. But she also knew the parameters of making that decision of like, hey, do I need to contact Lynn and Leslie? Because we've said, hey, if this is the effect, then hey, go ahead and reach out to us. But yeah. She's like, I was confident. And so now after that decision, she was like, I got this. Y'all can go away.
What a beautiful opportunity for her to step into her next level as well. I do love that. I love that. Okay. I have one last question for you. And then I would love for us to share how people can get to hang out with you guys and learn more. So this, I want you to think back to one piece of advice that you wish you had received when you started your journey towards growing your practice and becoming the version of Leslie today. Like what would you impart on our listeners that whether they're like month 12 in their business or they're maybe 12 years into their business, but they're feeling stuck. What is the one piece that you would say to them to maybe help move them forward?
Invest in coaching much earlier. I waited too late because I thought I could figure everything out myself or we could figure everything out as a team, but you don't know what you don't know.
And can I clarify? Continuing education is not coaching.
Yes.
Continuing education is somebody standing up and saying, these are the new regulations and the things you need to be aware of. Coaching is a relationship with someone that you trust whom helps you to achieve your goals. And whether that is learning advisory work, whether that is working with Lynn and Leslie on how to delegate better and be a better, you know, business owner, whether it's working with us to get your systems in place, there are so many different types of coaches. You need to determine, and I'm just going to add on to this, you need to determine what your priorities are in your business. Am I in a season of growth? Do I need a marketing coach? Do I need a systems coach? Do I need to, you know, like there are so many different types of coach, but it is a relationship. CPE is merely them throwing information at you and what sticks, sticks. But coaches help you to see bigger for yourself and help you to create that bigger vision and then guide you to that vision with their expertise. So I just wanted to kind of clarify for people because coaching is new to this industry. It is not something where people have invested a lot of dollars in the past, and it is changing, thankfully. But there is so much opportunity to obtain skills and speed up your results with coaching. So that's my piece. What would you add to
that? Because when Len and I were looking for, we were looking for somebody to help us get to where we are now. And it took us a long time to get there. And so what we have built in our coaching program is what we were looking for at that time that we wished we would have had. And because we found it way, way too late, because we were doing exactly what you talked about. And we were going to all these conferences and getting all these little nuggets and then trying to implement all these little things. And we got nowhere.
Yeah, you have to have a path. You have to have a path, a laid path, a proven path that will get you to the desired result you want.
Yes.
And that's what you guys sought out. And I think the trial and error that a lot of people try to put it together themselves and do it themselves, people fall into that and they just, where the shiny object kind of comes in, and you spend a lot of energy with these false starts over and over, and maybe you'll get a little bit of traction and go forward like to the 50-yard line, but all of a sudden like something slips back in the other areas of your life, and you're like, you feel like you're back at square one almost. And so it's just little tiny increments when you can work with somebody that can help you go to that 75 or even 100-yard line and be successful quickly. So yes, I'm fully agree with you. Leslie, this has been fantastic. I would love to have you share how people can come and hang out with you and learn more about the art of delegation, the art of building a system that can thrive without them for 4 weeks. I mean, there are so many practice owners that want to scale and grow their businesses, but they fear doing that because they feel like they won't be able to ever leave. So can you share how people can come and find you and hang out?
Yeah, absolutely. Our Facebook group is Scaling to CEO. So we do a lot of value posts in there. We do a lot of Facebook Lives in there. And a lot of it is around the Clockwork system. And if you just want a book to get started, check out the book Clockwork by Mike Michalowicz. Because it does, we are doing masterminds throughout the rest of this year around that book. So it gets you to think differently. So if you don't do anything else, listen to that audiobook or read the book just to get your mind to change a little bit different. But come hang out with us in Scaling to CEO, and we'd be glad to support you any way we can. If you have specific questions on delegation or actually anything in your firm, minus marketing, that is not my zone of genius. Feel free to DM me any questions that you possibly have, because what one of the things that we do is we just love to add value to this industry, because we are on a mission to change this accounting industry from the way that the traditional model has always been. Thanks for having me, Jamie. I enjoyed it.